From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Numbers chapter 2, verse 31. They shall go hindmost with their standards. The camp of Dan brought up the rear when the armies of Israel were on the march. The Danites occupied the hindmost place, but what mattered the position, since they were as truly part of the host as were the foremost tribes? They followed the same fiery, cloudy pillar. They ate of the same manna, drank of the same spiritual rock, and journeyed to the same inheritance. Come, my heart, cheer up, O last and least. It is thy privilege to be in the army, and to fare as they fare who lead the van. Someone must be hindmost in honor and esteem. Someone must do menial work for Jesus, and why should not I? In a poor village among an ignorant peasantry, or in a back street among degraded sinners, I will work on, and go hindmost with my standard. The Danites occupied a very useful place. Stragglers have to be picked up on the march, and lost property has to be gathered from the field. Fiery spirits may dash forward over untrodden paths to learn fresh truth and win more souls to Jesus. But some of a more conservative spirit may be well engaged in reminding the church of her ancient faith and restoring her fainting sons. Every position has its duties, and the slowly moving children of God will find their peculiar state, one in which they may be eminently a blessing to the whole host. The rear guard is a place of danger. There are foes behind us as well as before us. Attacks may come from any quarter. We read that Amalek fell upon Israel and slew some of the hindmost of them. The experienced Christian will find much work for his weapons in aiding those poor, doubting, desponding, wavering souls who are hindmost in faith, knowledge, and joy. These must not be left unaided. Therefore, be it the business of well-taught saints to bear their standards among the hindmost. My soul, do thou tenderly watch to help the hindmost this day.
He shall gather all our lives.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubts, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Romans as he brings the final portion of a message entitled Old News, New News, Good News. In verses 9 and 10 of the 10th chapter, Paul gives one of the best descriptions of the way of salvation to be found in the New Testament, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As Dr. Cairns has explained, Paul is talking about a particular kind of faith in this passage. This is not a simple assent to historical fact, but a wholehearted reliance upon Christ for salvation. True saving faith accepts the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes to God on His terms, with no reservations. Saving faith is characterized by having the imputed righteousness of Christ, as well as by open confession of Christ as Savior and Lord. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, Old News, New News, Good News.
You know, the word if sometimes has the simple meaning of since. It's a simple condition, and It can only mean since this, this, then this. There are times in the Greek New Testament when there is what some grammarians call that simple condition. There are times when the word may actually have the significance of since. Not saying it always has or must have, but there are many times when it has that color to it. There are various classes of conditional statements that are made in the Greek New Testament. I'm going to zero in on this one. For example, let me just back up a little. There is an if that means if, and I'm assuming this to be true, you do something, then this will happen. The one before us is very carefully chosen. And let me paraphrase the full force of the if, which certainly would not have been lost on the people to whom it was written. If, and it is assumed that you may, not that you will, for only time will tell, if you confess and believe, you shall be saved. This is the very same truth that we noted in verses when I was dealing with that passage in Deuteronomy. Paul is saying, you may. I want you to understand this. And I would to God that all the hyper-Calvinistic brethren would get the force of what Paul is saying. Because even the mood of a verb is inspired of the Holy Ghost. And when Paul uses what's called here the subjunctive mood, it is to give it the subjunctive force. And the subjunctive force is, yes, you may believe. Now, that comes over in English as if he's saying, I'm giving you permission to believe. That's not, again, an accurate representation. What he's saying is, look, listen to me. Here is a simple conditional statement with the necessary consequence. If, and I'm assuming not that you will do so, but I'm assuming that you may do so. If you will confess and believe, then here is an absolute certainty. You shall be saved. I've been talking about predestination. I've been talking about election. I've been talking about the divine will. I've been talking about the sovereignty of God. And I know your brain is going to be perplexed. And you're going to have this question and that question and the other question. But let me boil it all down to the simple essentials. If you may come to Christ, confessing Him as Lord, abandoning hope in yourself, confiding your soul to Him with all your heart. If with your heart you believe on Christ, you shall be saved. That's what Paul is saying here. The consequence is absolutely plain and clear. There's no may be saved. Perhaps be saved. There's a chance you'll be saved. For a while you'll be saved. But if you come to Him as you may, you will be saved. Now, will you be saved? Time will tell. Not because the salvation's uncertain. Because what is uncertain to Paul, to me, is whether you will come to Christ. But if you will come to Him, then certainly, inevitably, eternally, and irreversibly, you shall be saved. And then in verse 10, here's the character of saving faith. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm not going to take time to preach that text in any depth or detail tonight. I sometimes make the mistake of remembering to look at my watch. And I made that mistake just now. And into my mind came a picture of people in the nursery, and into my ear came the voice of my well-beloved saying, if you ever had to do a night in the nursery, you would preach a whole lot more briefly. So if you all get home before midnight, you have Joan to thank. But here's the character of saving faith now in verse 10. And I want you to notice it has both personal or private and public elements. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. I'm always amazed at the exactness of how Paul puts these things. Why should I be amazed? After all, it's the inspired word of God. Do you see this? It's with the heart man believeth. Believing is actually not just, as I said, an intellectual exercise. It is this soul abandonment to Christ. And the result of that is justification. But you see, I can't see the heart. I cannot read the inner recesses of the soul. But God can. And where there is a heart humbled to confess a need of Christ, where there is a heart humbled to give up its proud, boasted independence, where there is a heart humbled just to take Christ as he's offered in the gospel, God says the result is justification, the righteousness of Christ imputed. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. How do I know you're saved? Ultimately, only the Lord knows those who are his. But I take the words of Christ very seriously. By a man's words, he will be justified. By a man's words, he'll be condemned. By a man's words, he can be accepted as a Christian if his life tallies with his words, obviously. And this confession of Christ is what identifies you as a saved person. And Paul is making that very clear. So there are private and public elements. And let me bring them both together with two simple statements. There is no such thing as a dumb faith. A dumb faith cannot save. Now I'm getting back to ground I covered a little while ago, and I don't want to thrash a dead horse. Well, I would to God this horse were dead. But I want you to understand this. These people who say they have a faith that has no living confession of Christ, they're not sealed. If Christ is not your confessed Lord, you're not saved. Saving faith cannot be a dumb faith. The second statement I'll make is this. A faithless profession cannot save either. You see, I'm tired hearing, oh, just pray the sinner's prayer. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, save me. So you've called, now you must be saved. Even though there's no personal commitment to Christ. faithless profession cannot save. With the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made. And when you bring them both together, you've got the glorious truth. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, remember what Paul means there. He was delivered because of our offenses. He was raised because of our justification. And believing that God hath raised him from the dead is an all-embracing statement that is saying, by simple, childlike faith, I'm abandoning myself to the merits of the finished work of Jesus Christ for my salvation. And if that is so, then you shall be saved. You shall be saved. When? Well, you'll be saved the moment that happens. That's the promise. You'll be saved the moment it happens. You'll continue to be saved, because here's the thing about saving faith. It's never in the past tense. There's no such thing as a person who used to believe but no longer believes. If there's a person who no longer believes in Jesus, he never believed in Jesus. Saving faith is always in the present tense. So you believe, you shall be saved when? Right now. You'll continue to be saved. And you shall be saved, as we see when we get to the next section, at the judgment day, and that for all eternity. I trust tonight that as we continue a little slow progress through this 10th chapter, that you'll see that God does, he does demand a particular kind of faith. But listen, this is the crucial part, and we'll pick this up as we go on through the chapter. This is the crucial part. God demands that when you hear the gospel, you believe it. And when we get into this next chapter, you'll see there is no intermediate step between hearing and believing. When you hear this, God commands you to believe it, to accept it, to abandon yourself to Christ as he's preached in the gospel. And he promises you'll be saved. What is your duty tonight? Your duty is your highest privilege. That is, there stands before you the blessed Christ of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your duty. It's also your privilege. And you shall receive it. May God grant you indeed that personal, necessary, saving response to the gospel of his dear son. Let's pray together in a word of prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. Write it indelibly upon the fleshy tables of the heart. God grant that this Sabbath evening thou wilt chase away the gloom and the doubts. And O God, grant that this Sabbath evening thou wilt lay hold of the wayward sinner, convicting him of his need of Christ, lowering and leveling his pride and self-righteousness and carelessness in the dust, that with urgency he may confess Christ as Lord, cast himself upon him, the risen Savior, for eternal life. Grant fruit for the preaching of thy gracious word. And we give to thee the praise. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit our Comforter, be our abiding portion, both tonight and evermore. We pray these things, giving thee our thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.